Hello. You're listening to What the Fuck Do We Know? Can capitalism be humane? That's the question.
That's how you start.
I have this evening. Capitalism, socialism, and I think right now in US, socialism is like it's a derogatory word in the US. Like if you say you like socialism, then you like dictators immediately, which is crazy. But I'm not very great with what? Why did you look at me that
way? No, I mean, I think maybe it's a derogatory word among some like conservatives, but
no, I think that
among progressives, is it?
Well, whatever you call a progressive, but it's among also liberals in the US, because not every liberal is, so to speak, a progressive in the sense of like, it's like a fringe of the of liberals in US, like the not far left, not extreme left, but far left, that would be more embracing of socialist ideals. And even if the liberals or the Democrats in the US, some of them embrace socialist ideals, they don't call it socialism because it's just kind of like a trigger word for them, I think. And so they have like socialist capitalism.
Oh, that makes total sense, because yeah, liberalism is different from socialism.
Yeah, but they would not like very much just say we're socialists, you know, except this far left, but not extreme left. Anyway, so let's start from capitalism versus socialism, I guess. Socialism. No, I say socialism. Socialism, I guess. I don't know so much about it.
Me neither. Yeah. Oh, that's why we're here.
No, but no, for real, because I'm just not that interested in economics.
Who cares about economics?
In general, I really am not that interested in it. Not because I don't care, but because it's just...
What?
Not
boring?
It's a bit boring for me, yes, exactly. But is one better than the other? Is the only question I want to ask you here.
Is one better than the other in terms of economics?
Yes.
I mean, I think that we see that... Like in the 20th century, there was this grand experiment, right? And I think history showed us that we don't have right now any successful social state with a planned economy. So if one is better than the other in terms of being actually a framework that can exist, then in that way, capitalism is obviously something that can exist.
So what would be the criteria for like passing judgment on this in terms of like good and bad?
Well, first of all, we've never had a fully like, I mean, I guess you could say that we had Soviet Union and like North Korea. They are planned economies.
North Korea still exists.
Yes. But is it a successful state? No.
Well, we're not in there. I recently read someone on Twitter who had a hot take, and his hot take was that North Korea is actually a rebellion of US imperialism.
That's how they promote themselves.
Yeah, I know. So. And he felt, he's an American, but he felt like Americans were too blind to this and we're not seeing the truth about what North Korea really is. And
the point is
his
that
point was
they're
that,
successful?
Yes, it's a good thing. It's a better thing than what the South
Korea. He's never been there, right?
Yeah, no, he's an American living in the U.S. He's a... person from the US living in the US. It really bothers me. I speak to a lot of Brazilians and I don't like that it's just
do they
so,
mind?
Yeah, they do. They actually do mind. And okay. I don't like that it's been so just part of our life that we just forget that America is just there's so much.
Yeah, what do you say? US citizens?
Yeah, I guess, but it's so long. What I hate is that we haven't developed another word for it. For specifically them, but we have like Canadian and we have Mexicans and Brazilians and Colombians and all of that. But these guys just decided to own the word America.
I'm sorry, they have the United States of
America. Well,
they
called themselves that.
Yeah.
So they decided, they took the word and they decided to own it and make it be like Americans are just them. But whatever, that's not what we're talking about today.
It's really not. So I don't think socialism has proven to be viable, a viable economic.
No, but what is your criteria
framework
for calling something like a viable? Just longevity?
We just don't see it existing. And even like Soviet Union, yes, it didn't have like ownership rights, but we still saw the same inequality. It was just like under a different framework.
Did socialism fail? And I'm asking actually genuine questions here. Socialism failed because just at the basis of socialism does not make a lot of sense, or because of human failures?
I think that, I mean, it makes sense as an idea. It can be consistent. And obviously, I wouldn't say it's a human failure. It's just the way humans are. And that's one. Second, it also failed because it doesn't exist separately, like on the moon, right? There was a competition between capitalistic countries and socialist countries. And I think the USSR could have existed actually on its own if it was the only state on the planet. I think it could have lasted much, much longer.
So it's the existence of other competitions.
I think, that's a big part of it, I think. The way I see it, I also don't like have a very strong opinion on it.
But I want to go back to something you said. You said the way we are. What did you mean there?
The way we are is the way the needs we have, the incentives we have as humans.
It's good to talk about needs, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it was viable, at least at that point. Well, I don't know. I'm leaning towards social democracy or like liberal socialism, as I would call it. So I maybe we'll discuss later. I do want to move in that direction. I just think that...
What do you mean you want to move? Like you want to start thinking like that? Or you
I want our society to move in that direction. Right. But I just don't think that it should be incremental, I think. And I don't know whether it will be viable.
You don't
actually
think it should be incremental, or you think it should be incremental?
I think it should be incremental. And honestly, I don't think it's viable unless we have this technological, some kind of leverage. So if we have AGI, for instance, that's when I think socialism could potentially be viable. But in some maybe not so distant future. But that's the only kind of way where I can see like full-on socialism in the next 100 years.
So one of the arguments for capitalism is that it naturally comes to us as humans, isn't it?
Sorry, socialism or capitalism?
Capitalism. It naturally comes to us as humans.
Well, capitalism, it's, I think, competition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, based on competition, yeah.
Competition, yes. Capitalism, I mean, it wasn't there from the beginning,
sure.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Socialism wasn't there from the beginning.
Well, yeah, so no, but it's not a natural thing.
Yeah, it's based on competition. I don't know much about capitalism, but as far as I can see...
We'll leave it.
Yes, that's the problem. Is as far as I can see, we have failed in it.
What do you mean?
To me, because I understand that capitalism is supposed to be not like built on like the goodness of people, right? It's built on self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
People's need to be, to like improve their life. But the thing is that this selfish need should somehow, like in all things being equal, I guess I could say, should somehow lead to societal benefit as well.
Well, the way I see it is that we already have this like competition and built in us. And here we're trying to build a system that tames this competition and tries to direct it in a socially productive...
Tames. Interesting. I don't think that we have, with capitalism that exists now, found a way to where like the goal has been to tame this competition.
Yeah, that's what capitalism... I mean, that's one way to see capitalism.
But it is not the way that I see capitalism existing now.
Why? I think that it's... comparatively speaking, compared to what we had at the beginning of capitalism, we tamed it pretty well.
Okay, but let's talk about the benefit to society that capitalism is supposed to deliver. So it's not supposed to work on some kind of moral good or whatever. I think just from a self-interest point, it's immoral.
Depends on the base values. What are the values based on which you consider it immoral?
Well, self-interest, selfishness, first of all. Like in terms of morality.
If selfishness is immoral, then...
Yeah, morality being selflessness.
Okay.
Moral being self.
Okay. Capitalism doesn't think that acting in self-interest is immoral.
It's immoral, yes. So I think, first of all, it's not a moral concept.
Capitalism is an economic system. It's not a moral category.
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes. Okay. But my thing is this. As I understand capitalism, it was, maybe I'm wrong, but it was kind of pushed as these people thinking of how to improve their own lives will also inadvertently improve the life of society, right?
I think it wasn't, I don't know if you meant it, but it wasn't pushed. It was like self-organized. It was just occurred.
When I say push, I don't mean like
preach
to people. I just mean like this is a huge part of what people say to convince people on the benefits.
Yeah, but it just happened to be. It's not that anyone actually came up with it. It just happened to be that this mode of production became more efficient at some point of time.
No, but more efficient for what is my question? Because
more efficient to produce goods.
Yes, that's why I have a problem with. But isn't it supposed to, in some way, improve society?
Improve how?
Make life better for most people.
And you don't think it has?
I don't think it is doing that now.
Compare our life right now and 16th, 17th century. You don't think life of people has become better?
No, I think, that's why I said, I don't think it's doing that now. I don't think that it didn't improve life. I think that it led to a lot more innovation, which is good. It led to a lot of industrialization. Everything has been good. But right now, if we're considering what is the quality of life of people who are not owners, it is not really that good.
Compared to what?
Well, compared to the life of people that are owners. I don't think
I
don't think that right now it is. I'm not speaking about like industry and innovation and stuff. Yes, capitalism is, that's why I'm not against capitalism.
Okay.
Because I understand that many of the things I have now are as a result of capitalism. But my point is where it has failed is that it doesn't help most people.
I think it helps everyone considering the technological progress.
No, but if we consider the technological progress and we consider, okay, that this is where we could go to being like moral citizens, like everybody being a moral citizen, right? There is technological progress and it is good. But does that technological progress really spread?
Yes.
As far as it could really, affect the world?
I mean, not, of course, it doesn't spread equally. Of course, there are some services and goods that haven't been democratized. Like there are super expensive surgeries that you can't get access to, but there are also many, many technologies that have been democratized, like smartphones, internet. It's available almost to everyone right now. In developed countries, to everyone. In developing countries, more or less to everyone. And that's a big, big change, wouldn't you say? It's a big, big thing and a big, big value.
I do agree, but the thing is that as we keep on going and we keep on improving and there is more technological increase, I don't think that it's leveling the playing field. I don't think that it's making life easier for the general population. Because you mentioned the smartphone. It is a useful thing that we have now. But if we think of other things that are being produced.
So what don't you have? Like what are you really lacking?
What was it about me? It's not necessarily about me.
No, okay.
Selfish here. I'm talking about general world. In terms of, let's talk about healthcare. There is much better healthcare right now. I agree with you. There are much better surgeries now. And in a large scale, a lot better medical treatment has been spread across the world. But what happens when this healthcare is so expensive?
I mean, you can't afford it if it's too expensive.
So what is the point of having healthcare if only 1% of the population of a country can actually afford to get this?
Is it the case?
Well, let's look at the US. Healthcare is very expensive in the US. In here, over here, it's not that expensive, but it's not that great.
It's free.
But what is the point of actually developing healthcare if it's as available to few people and not the whole total population?
I think you are exaggerating the inequality part here. I mean, I think that people more or less have access to, even in the US, where I think most people acknowledge that the healthcare system is worse than in most other developed countries.
When you say have access, what do you mean? They will get surgeries, but what is the point of getting a surgery if you leave the hospital with a $20,000 bill and you have an annual salary of $35,000? Is that access to healthcare?
Well, don't they have a security system? What is Obamacare? Don't they have a healthcare system?
Not everybody has good healthcare.
Well, I don't know if, I'm sure not everyone. But I don't know the statistics, how many people have it.
How many people have insurance? I think that insurance. Also, it's another conversation.
But don't people who have jobs, isn't it obligatory for them to have medical insurance provided by the employers?
What does the medical insurance that is provided by the employers give them, though?
I don't know. That's a question for you.
Why is it a question?
I don't know. Because I don't know. You follow the US.
That's a question you have to answer, because when you say access, you think everybody can get it, but that's not just it. It's like, at what cost is it for everybody?
I agree that not everybody can get access to it, but still, we can compare poor people who live now to rich people who live now. We will see inequality, but we also can compare poor people who live now to not even poor people who used to live, but also rich people.
But that's not the comparison. Poor people who lived in the past compared to rich people who lived in the past?
No, go ahead. Doesn't matter. I said left instead of live.
Okay, but now I've corrected it. Lived, and what do you think, that poor people who live now are much better off than rich people who live in the past because of healthcare?
Yes. Absolutely. Don't you see how long, like, the current life expectancy of a poor person is much longer than the life expectancy of the richest person several centuries ago?
Are we talking only about healthcare?
We are talking about everything.
Okay, what else? A huge part of the life expectancy was because they were sick.
Yes.
And they died from diseases.
In terms of conveniences, are we talking about healthcare, life expectancy?
No. I would say healthcare compared, we connected to life expectancy, healthcare, yes, I agree. But what else?
Conveniences.
Everybody
you have a toilet at home.
Everybody has conveniences. No, not everybody has conveniences now, but most people have conveniences now. And just first of all, I don't think that a comparison of people now to people then is enough to just talk about inequality. Because we can keep on doing that and there's always inequality. It just, things were different then. There is development now. And we're talking about right now, with the technological development that we have now, there is still inequality. So what is the point of this system that continues to widen the gap between people?
The point is that even the poorest people, they still live better than the richest people in the past.
It doesn't matter about the past though, because they're living in the present. So even if you tell them, you tell someone who cannot afford, let's say, I don't know, to go to the dentist, you should be happy because people in the 16th century couldn't go to the dentist no matter how rich they were. But right now, the dentist is available. So it's the problem that I now, having the dentist, then they didn't have that dentist that I have now. Well, I now, having the dentist, cannot afford to go to that thing that is available, that is supposed to be available to me.
First of all, I think, again, you're exaggerating. Most people can go to the dentist.
Make an example does not mean that I'm saying that many people. It was an example.
But it's an unrealistic example. I mean, it's realistic that there are some people, but the majority can afford dentists.
I think that your actual ability is in life, like the things that you have been able to provide for yourself, make you not totally see the reality. Not a lot of people can afford dentists.
Going to the dentist is not
something that is very popular in many countries, like every 2 months or every 3 months.
I'll talk about Ukraine. You can go to the dentist for free.
This is here.
Another point is that, yes...
I can't.
Okay.
Start with that. So there is some inequality.
But you can afford
there.
It.
Doesn't, but I can't go for free. Let's start. I can't.
I said you can't. Okay.
There is some inequality there to start from, but that's not what we're talking about. But even using the dentist... Go ahead.
Okay, but the point is that capitalism, we started talking about capitalism, that it has brought us this progress.
I agree.
And the life has improved.
What is this progress for us?
What do you mean?
We don't have access to it.
But we do. We have toilet at home.
So what you're saying is that for the things that you cannot get, you should just be grateful for ones that you have.
What I'm saying is we should express gratitude for things that we have and attribute it to capitalism.
Why
but
can't you
say
do that once at the same time complain that there are things that people have access
and then
to that I cannot? That's what I'm doing. I'm not saying that we're not, that
okay,
we don't have
then
toilets.
We are in total agreement.
But we cannot compare poor people of now to rich people of then because they didn't have the things that we have now.
Well, we can compare and say this is why capitalism is good. And then you say, but it's not perfect because we still have this inequality. And then you can discuss, okay, is this inequality necessary? Is it an inbuilt feature of capitalism?
What we can say about why capitalism is good is that we have things. It's not that poor people now are better off. I don't like this comparison of people.
Why not?
Now. Because it doesn't make sense. They were totally different times. You should not say...
But the times changed because of capitalism.
Yeah, I'm not, and this is the, we can say that times have changed because of capitalism.
Okay.
We can say that we have innovations because of capitalism.
Okay.
But what we don't say is poor people are better off now than rich people then. What is that comparison?
To illustrate the progress.
Because a poor person now is not sitting down and thinking about their poverty by and getting better with it. Getting better with it. You're not poor. You've never been poor.
I'm not rich either. I'm not even middle class.
You have parents that are.
No.
In Ukraine, you are fine.
I'm not middle
class.
You are
better than fine in Ukraine.
But it's not even middle class. It's like upper lower class, if you want. It's not middle class. I'm sorry.
Middle in Ukraine. Your parents are not middle class.
No. What? My father is an electrician.
That's not.
I'm sorry.
No, but I don't want to. Like,
okay, let's not
go
there.
Your parents have finance now. But whatever you experience as lower class, it's nothing compared to what other poor people actually experience. That's a comparison we can make because both of you exist in the same time.
What? But we can make both comparisons.
I don't accept comparison.
Okay. I think the problem is that we can make this comparison when we talk about capitalism and the good that came with it. But it's not an appropriate comparison if we are talking about inequality that exists right now.
Which is where we started from. Because I don't disagree that capitalism brought some
good. I think we agree
on it. It is inappropriate to discuss inequality by saying, but look at those guys in the past.
No, that was my point for demonstrating and like substantiating my point that capitalism is good and it has brought...
But I didn't say that capitalism was bad, though.
Okay, then we agree on this point. Great. What a waste of the conversation.
Why is it a waste? I don't like when you say that. Why is it a waste? We had a conversation. We had an argument. Why is it a waste of the conversation?
No, because we agree on everything.
It doesn't
It was just
matter,
about the formulations.
So what? We shouldn't talk about anything.
No, we should.
Just always
we should.
Go like, okay, what is your point? Say it. Well, there has to be a lead up to understanding each other. And so when you
I
have
don't
a conversation,
mind. I mean,
you
if
don't
it takes
say,
it.
And that triggered me today because of something. There's just that sentence just triggered me because something happened earlier today. So don't say that.
So sensitive. Okay, corporate responsibility. We talked about whether capitalism can be responsible.
Well, can it be humane?
Humane. I think one question we should ask here is inequality, right? We acknowledge that capitalism has brought a lot of good, but it has always been accompanied by inequality. So is a necessary part of it? And I mean, the answer is obviously yes. But then like, how much of inequality is the necessary part for capitalism to exist?
That is the question. Because I don't think that inequality can never exist in any system. Honestly, I don't think it's possible.
I mean, it could be the case, but I wouldn't want to live in that system.
Why? You wouldn't want to live in a system where there is
equality? Now, yeah, because it would have been a totalitarian system. Like, you have to enforce it.
I honestly don't think that it's a horrible thing if we have some sort of thing as good citizens and a good, like, totalitarian.
Well, good citizens, we know that people are not very fit
to be
good citizens. Yeah, so
that's
why
I said if we had something like
but
that.
But the only way how it can happen is for the government to intervene and change humans genetically.
Yeah,
I don't want to be in that society.
I know that.
But that's the only way you can get there.
Yeah, if... So it's not happening.
But do you want to be in that society?
If it were possible that...
Well, we can change... we will be able in 100 years to change human DNA.
I'm not against government intervention.
Into human DNA?
Yeah, why?
Okay, that's an interesting conversation. I mean, I'm not necessarily against it, but it is very concerning.
It is concerning because the government is not made up of like absolute moral human beings. So...
To say the least.
Yeah, so... That is the concern. But again, if we had some kind of like really good person in the world, you know.
Oh, I mean, the only way for me is if we have some kind of AGI that makes it all possible. Otherwise, there
is... I don't know, because people write those things. Can we... It's like, at what point? I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't trust humans.
I wouldn't either.
Much more realistically... The government makes people docile, like elites make people docile, and you just have some kind of, literally, not classes, but classes built on basically different species. You would literally have subspecies of humans.
Oh, definitely.
And that's
it's a problem.
Quite concerning.
Okay, let's go back to corporate citizens. Does capitalism have to be accompanied by inequality? I think yes.
I agree.
Okay. Now, the big problem is how do we close this gap? of inequality. And I'm not sure if this is a thing, but I feel like it's a thing. Welfare capitalism.
It could be a thing. I think it sounds like...
Is it a thing?
I think it is. I mean, it's the same thing as welfare state.
Well, government intervention is the only way we can close the inequality gap, isn't it?
Yes. The short answer, I think, yes.
Because we don't have good corporate citizens. We do not.
I don't think it's possible, honestly. I don't think, like, ESG has been growing.
What?
ESG. Do you know what ESG is? Environment, social, governance.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know it as well as... Okay, I know what you're talking about. Because it's like the new CSR is like a new...
CSR? I don't know what CSR is.
Corporate social responsibility.
Oh, right. There is also, I think, SDR, social something, DD. I don't remember. Never mind. There are so many abbreviations.
Oh, there's one I wanted to talk about, but I never got the time to reach it. But anyway, go on. It's also related
to this. It has been growing quite a lot. At least I've been reading about it a lot lately.
I think it has been growing by in mouth.
Oh, that's the thing, that we have this, like, related to climate, greenwashing. We have this virtue signaling.
Don't even get me started on that.
And I just don't think that it's possible for for-profit companies to actually deliver value, like social value. They will do that. They will do, like, a little bit of that. But most of it will be, like, more about virtue signaling. And I don't think for the government to enforce it, I think it's good. You can try it. There should be, it does have some positive value because it creates this environment where people don't measure capital but actually brag about like ESG or something. And even if they don't do it, at least it makes the environment and people talking about it, it's already something. But I don't think it will actually lead to any real change. I think that's...
If the government does enforce it?
But how can you enforce it? Like, what can you do? You can enforce some regulation that this is our principles, ESG, you have to be responsible. What can you enforce?
The problem is that we have so many governments. Well, we've had a conversation about something else before, and I said if we had some kind of unified government, it would be great. Because the thing is, like, if you do enforce it in one country, production can go to another country, and then they just still deliver and still distribute it
in the
country.
But what do you enforce? I mean, you have taxes.
Yes.
This is already social government.
This is the only way.
Well, yeah, but... What else can you enforce? You can enforce them to follow some principles, but I mean, you will not be able to enforce them to spend 50% of their profits.
It's not just the government that has to be involved. It also comes down to consumers.
And we still have a little bit of that, and that's good, but it will never be enough.
Oh, it's not enough. It's not enough.
Not
definitely.
Even enough. It's never going to be like more than even 20% of what is required.
Because we want things. Because capitalism has made us believe that we just want little nonsense, little things. We have Apple Watches.
Just talk about yourself.
I don't have an Apple Watch.
Why? Oh, you have Apple devices.
Yeah, but
I stick
part
to Android,
yes.
Because it's cheaper.
We want all these unnecessary little fucking things that we have in our homes that we disregard everything. How many companies have been involved in like child labor when it comes to like the fashion industry? A lot of them.
Oh, a lot mean of currently them. Currently in Asia?
Sorry?
Currently in Asia, you mean? Or like historically?
Historically,
okay.
Yes. And a lot of companies, I was looking at this actual ESG, I think, I was looking at this rating, the rating for a lot of fashion companies, and it's really shit for a lot of companies that people continuously purchase from, and they will not stop because they want a little blouse or a little t-shirt or a little thing.
Fashion industry, I mean, not gonna lie, I don't get it.
Fashion industry is really like,
I'm really far from it.
It's really fucked up. But anyway, my point is like, I think the government and consumers have to be like actively.
But what do you want from business?
Government, what do I want from business?
Yes, what is corporate citizenship for you?
Okay, let's use an example.
Okay.
Laying off of employees.
Okay.
Okay. In the past several years, there have been mass layoffs. And of course, a company could describe it, could explain it. There was a recession. Blah, 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 profits were down, et cetera,
okay.
Et cetera. But the thing is this, in these mass layoffs, you have a CEO who makes like $40 million and then 3,000 employees are laid off. The CEO's salary does not reduce.
Okay.
This is a common thing. What the fuck?
I mean, there is not enough work for workers. They're getting fired. I don't see a problem here.
I don't think that it's just that there is not enough work for
what
workers.
Do you think?
In many ways, it's profits. It's about how we can maximize profits, how we can
well,
get
exactly,
profit.
Well, exactly, yes.
And there is work. You can hire more people. They will do maybe less work, but still they will be working and you can pay them.
But it's not efficient. It's part,
but then this is where you come with social responsibility. You don't want a society that is existing with what 50,000 or 50,000 is very small, like 5 million unemployed people who are of employment age. Because you just think I can maximize profits with less workers. And so this is a problem with capitalism.
It is not a,
it is a
it's a
problem.
Feature of capitalism.
It's a feature of capitalism that is a problem
a
for the society.
A necessary feature. It's a problem, but it's
it
a
is
necessary
a feature.
Feature
of capitalism that is a problem for society.
It
I'm
is
not
a problem
it's
for
not
society,
a
yes.
Of capitalism.
But
yes,
it doesn't
so this
mean
this is
that...
part of corporate social responsibility. Understanding, okay, at what point, what can I do to make sure that the we figure out how to like handle our finances in our company without putting this much stress on the society.
And you want the government to regulate it or just...
No, this is just about like, what is a problem? But you ask me what's an example of something that happens, right? This is a thing. This is a problem.
No, I mean, I do want companies to treat people better. And I mean, I think if you take the history, I think it's going the right way. It can go, of course, it can become better. And I think it will become better if it goes
so. Mm-hmm.
in the direction it's going right now, at least for developed countries. I honestly don't know for developing countries. But I just don't think you can enforce it.
Well, you could. You could actually, the government could have policy that does kind of restrict laying offs.
No, I mean, we do have some protections of workers, right?
Layings off. Layoffs.
I like layoffs.
Layoffs.
We do have some regulation about that. I mean, in Ukraine, you have to, like, what, 2-week notice at least?
No, it's not just that, but would actually, like, restrict laying off, it, like, when
no,
it considers,
I, that,
like, in, but it's much more, I don't know, it has to be very scrupulous for what I'm thinking of. But, so it's not very likely that anything
but
like
do,
this
But do you
happen.
Recognize that it creates an inefficiency, market inefficiency, and that decreases the total production of... everyone and everything, the entire system.
Tell me how, for example, with let's use Google.
Well, you fire a bunch of a bunch of developers because you don't think they're useful here. You don't think they're worth the money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not allowed to fire them, that means that you will not be able to produce as much goods per capita as you could have. That is market inefficiency. Here you go.
You're not, and the point is you're not allowed to fire them. You're not allowed to fire them in the level, the amount that is being fired. That's my big problem.
But it doesn't matter. It is, you want to fire 5,000,
yeah,
you're not allowed to fire 5,000.
What happens with firing at 5,000 when all these companies fire like 20,000 people are laid off and 40,000 people are laid off? There is like 50,000.
They find a new job.
No. There's like 1,000 person for one position.
Well, first, I think this is the worst example, literally IT. But
where do you find a new job when there's one?
No, I mean IT is the worst example. This is the best industry to work right now. Not the best, one of the best. But let's take a very bad industry like coal industry, an industry that is dying.
Oh, I think it should be dead.
Okay, let's take an imaginary industry that is kind of like not as juicy as IT, but it's still necessary in order to make the market efficient. People, yes, people will suffer. Some people will.
So the point is not avoiding suffering, but minimizing suffering.
But okay, how far do you go with that? I mean, we already have some legislation that protects workers' rights. Yes, we could make it even stricter for business, but how far do we go? And also, let's not forget that, as you mentioned, we don't have international government, so business can always move to another state.
And then you get those governments to do the same thing.
Uh-huh, but
so we're not just talking about one government. We're talking about just the general world for governments to act in this way. Just
okay, even if we imagine this global government and we still have capitalism, we still need markets to move. We still need... Some people have to suffer. That's the thing.
That's what you say. I didn't say nobody will suffer.
Right.
I think that the suffering comes as a part of this.
So you just want
I
to
just
reduce
think we should
layoffs?
Not just layoff, this was an example.
Okay.
There are many other things. We talked about your rent recently.
Oh, rent.
That is
I disagree there too.
That's another example, just like finding ways to, I don't know the legislation that could help it, but finding ways to minimize the suffering, because in the name of like, what did you just say? In the name of maintaining the market, there is just so much suffering that comes as a result of it. And if we're talking about for-profit companies, which is most companies, for-profit companies, profit being like the only goal, just the only purpose of the company, is a huge problem for the society.
So my idea is that for-profit, we have a capitalist society, but we have business. But business is just one part of the society, right? We also have government. We also have other institutions. Sure. And so my point...
I would come to institutions later.
My point is that why do you want to do all of this? We do need to care, because I did say that I support social democracy. I do think we have to deal with inequality. But I just don't think that for-profit companies, oh my God, are the institution that has to deal with that. This is something that government has to deal with. You want money? Tax. You don't create this market inefficiency for no reason.
Well, the reason I mentioned, what do you mean? I said government should be involved. I didn't say for
government should be involved, but the way you do that, not through restricting the
we're talking about taxes, and we're talking about restrictions about the company going to another country. Why doesn't the company just go to another country to evade the tax?
That's also a problem. So, but I think it's better, other things being equal.
I agree that taxation is better. I think it's
right.
The best way.
So if you do need money because you don't have money for the program, right? You have a choice whether to implement this new policy that doesn't allow, like, restrict to some level companies to fire people, or even minimum wage, I would go that far, then just tax them a little bit more and provide that welfare and don't.
So that's why I said I'm very, very pro a welfare society. I think that taxes are the best way to get to these companies. But people evade taxes as well. In the US, it's very common for trillion-dollar companies to find ways to not pay. I don't know, it's income tax they don't pay, right?
Yeah, it's called tax optimization.
Well, see? So people find ways to do this. And there is, I mean, if countries could successfully tax companies, we wouldn't be having this conversation at all.
But companies also find ways how not to keep people.
If your like response to my asking, like saying that the government should find a way to restrict people is taxation, people also evade taxes.
Yeah, but most people still pay taxes. I mean, obviously some people evade.
Yeah, but the problem is also about the tax evasion is the people who really would influence with their taxes, they are the ones who really find ways to evade taxes.
Yes.
Okay.
But you can't really do much about it. I mean, you can try, but it's hard without international government.
So that's why I say, like, that's why I mentioned being a good corporate citizen, is because, like, if we try with government, there is so far the government can go without people beginning to say the government is, you know, it's too, what did we say? They don't want totalitarian governments, right? There is so far that the government can go before people start accusing the government of overreach.
So, I mean, if you're talking about enforcing legislation, mm-hmm. reasonable legislation like paying taxes.
Well, reasonable legislation paying taxes is reasonable legislation, but still so many people evade taxes. So many people lobby so that they can get tax cuts constantly. And it
works.
And that's
a problem. Yes.
And it works.
To some extent.
So.
No, but people still pay taxes, right? I mean, most people, we have a common friend. And like, they don't pay taxes because they think that government steals budgets, right? And there is corruption. And
which
like,
there is.
Which there is, obviously. Ukraine is not, is prominent for that, right? But the thing is that there is still a lot of that money is still used for the government, for the reason it's supposed to be used, right? And you can't just stop the entire government. We can't just stop paying taxes because there is corruption. Then the entire government will shut down, right?
I agree. Your point?
My point is that, yes, there are inefficiencies. There will be inefficiencies in both ways, but other things being equal, like going through taxes instrumentally, I think it's more efficient than trying to enforce this kind of like indirect corporate citizenship that will not work. There is
no, but why are you? What are you talking about enforcing? I'm not asking the government to enforce corporate citizenship. I'm talking about corporations being good social, good citizens, just people being good. First of all,
people are not.
Yes, that is why the government then comes in.
Genetic modification.
So when I say like corporate responsibility, I'm hoping, well, in an ideal world, I imagine in an ideal world, these for-profit companies would be led by people who are good citizens, but they aren't. That's why the government has to come in. It's not because that's the only reason why the government has to enforce this and enforce that or tax more, because people are just not good.
I agree. And we should embrace
capitalism
it.
Capitalism is not a great place for bad people to be living.
Capitalism is not a good place for bad people to build.
Yeah, it's a good environment for bad people to really grow.
But the thing is that I still want to come back to this idea of taming human nature, because if right now...
Taming competition? Is that...
Taming, yes, competition. Because we've always had people who were like very, very egoistic, and people with like high testosterone who wanted to kill other people and dominate. And just like previously, it was manifested in like wars and fighting and just like a fight, and then you dominate. And if you can do it in a more civilized manner through being a financial broker, or like, how do they call it? Like finance bro or like whatever?
Bro.
I don't know in the US, but if that's the case, it's better than what we had.
I don't disagree, but we still have to find a way to make this system just not too bad for some people and so good for others. It is ridiculous. Let's talk about rent prices. I understand that rent prices grow as the market changes, right?
Okay.
So demand is higher. What do? You increase the price of the thing, right?
Yes.
It makes sense. But then also as a person, if I was a landlord, maybe I'm weird. But anyway, if I was a landlord, I would also, like, things, this demand change in the market does not necessarily translate to change in salaries as well.
Usually it is, if the economy is doing well.
But the economy is not doing well in some places, like here, right? Why? Okay. And I know that as a landlord, I have the ability to purchase a house and give it out to somebody else to rent. I can assume...
I'm not doing business with you, okay? No,
I can assume that these landlords have other sources of income.
Okay.
So this rent is not what they are living on.
Okay.
I don't think it's being a good citizen to decide that just because the demand is higher, I'm just going to get more money from this person, regardless of that person's life changing or not. I don't think it's being a good citizen. I don't think that is such a small case that I don't think the government should come and let them do anything.
Okay.
But the government should. I believe in rent, what do you call it?
Ceilings.
Rent control. In some countries, they have rent control apartments.
Yeah.
At some point, you can change the prices, but there should be like...
I disagree here fully.
You don't think that there should be rent control? Why not?
First of all, the baseline for capitalism is that you should leave it as it is and regulate it, unless there is a really, really good reason why it should be regulated.
You don't think?
I don't think so.
Price gouging shouldn't be regulated?
What is price gouging?
Increasing the price, like really.
I mean, if it corresponds to market trends, then if it's just market as usual, right now what we have in Ukraine, for instance.
But what about people actually being able to afford this thing? If things are too expensive,
if people can't afford it, they will not pay.
If you don't have
a monopoly, you will have an efficient market. You will have supply and demand, and it's gonna end up where people can actually pay. Well, most people. That's how capitalism works.
Say it's flawed.
What happens when you have price ceilings? You have deficit because.
And I don't think that the government should come into small cases like this. I don't.
No, you just supported price control.
And I'm not saying just price ceiling, but price control for a moment. I think apartments should be price controlled. Even if there's a change in the demand in the market, but there is no actual economic growth and that people aren't feeling, I think that there should be some kind of regulation to keep the price where it is until people begin to feel the growth in this economy.
And then what happens, there is deficit. And then what happens, land homeowners start asking very, like a lot of requirements from new rentees, because they know they will not be able to change the salary, and will they? This is more related to not being able to evict the person who can't pay. That's what happens, and that's market inefficiency, and eventually people don't have access.
This is different from being able to evict. You can evict a person. That's also a problem.
Like I kind of mixed it up together, but that's also one of the
people will
policies.
Leave if they cannot pay anyway. You can evict them if they cannot pay. But
yeah, but in a lot of countries, there
I know
the regulation.
Like that, but I'm talking simply about, like, in the US, in Canada, I think they have a huge housing crisis where, like, apartment prices rose so quickly, so high during COVID. That is a time that I think rent control is important during a pandemic.
Okay, I will give you an example where I could agree that price control is reasonable. Like when the war started in Ukraine, and when a lot of millions of people were moving
crisis,
to the West,
like the pandemic.
Ukraine.
Why is that different?
It doesn't qualify for me.
Because I don't think that, all things being equal, I don't think that the government should be, I don't think rent control is, all things being equal, there'll be growth, there'll be changes in the market, I'll notice it, I'll understand that my prices are going to change as well. I don't have a problem with it, but when there's a crisis, we have to control it, because war, you just said.
War, I mean, this is,
if there is no
enough of a crisis for me to say that temporarily.
Why was the pandemic not enough of a crisis?
I don't see a direct causal chain between increased prices and the pandemic.
There was a recession.
Recession, so that's why prices increased?
No. Well, a lot of people did increase the prices of apartment prices, really increased
why?
In the pandemic. I have no idea, but I'm talking about the recession
because people maybe lived at home.
In terms of people just not having enough money for it, that's why it should be controlled.
If people don't have enough money, again, if it is, it has to be like a really, really, really serious event.
I don't think it has to be really, really serious. I just think it has to be serious.
No, like pandemic, I don't see a direct correlation here. There is probably because people stay at home, and maybe that's why
Know that the rent prices increased during the pandemic? Did you know that?
No, I didn't research
it. I was looking for a flat in that time. They did a lot.
Okay. I think this is kind of like market working. Okay, pandemic, it is an extreme event, but I would still not touch
the market.
A lot
of people were out
point.
Of work, by the way, during the pandemic, in the beginning
yes.
stages of the pandemic. A lot of people were out of work.
And
a lot of people
were
not receiving
I would support
checks.
Stimulus.
We're not receiving welfare checks.
I would
yet.
Support stimulus.
Yeah, I'm fine with stimulus as well.
But then why should land homeowners suffer? It's like...
Because they didn't get the stimulus, though. If you give people... citizens didn't get a stimulus
well,
checks.
Well, that's why you
if
should provide it.
If you give citizens stimulus checks, then yes, they can increase
okay,
the rent.
Okay, but why at the expense
the
of
the point is like
homeowners.
The people should be able to afford it, though.
But not at the expense of homeowners, because this is like... Imagine.
Because what is the expense of homeowners, though?
If we use the same logic, then we need a cap for anyone who owns business.
Yeah.
And then like what? You're going to say that, okay, this business is earning too much. You will have a cap.
It's not earning too much. That's not the point. It's not that this business is earning too much. You're not trying to make the business not earn enough money, but you're trying to make people in your community, in your society, able to afford
okay,
things
they
that they
have to
they
reduce
need.
Prices
and
because
I'm not even,
the business is earning too much.
Not even reduce prices. Nobody said that. But
okay,
just maintain
keep the
prices,
while
but,
there is
and I'm not even talking about ridiculous things. I'm talking about necessities.
It is a necessity. I just think
necessities
that,
is what I'm talking
I agree,
about.
But I think that it has to be at the expense of the government. You need new housing. You don't do it at the expense of homeowners. You do it
and I don't
at the expense of social
you.
Programs. You build houses. You subsidize mortgages.
I don't
That's
disagree
you do.
With you, but we didn't have that though.
Okay. Okay, last topic. What do you think about subsidies? Like, for instance, coal industry, agriculture.
What do you mean? What do I think about them?
Do you think that's what should happen? Do you think government should give subsidies to these industries? And which industries and like in which cases you think is justified to give subsidies?
Whatever is vital.
Vital for whom?
For the like society at large, like the people.
Okay, you have farmers.
Coal, so I'm not going to say coal. I don't like coal.
But it's vital for people who work there.
But I think that we should talk, that's a different conversation, but we should talk about social like transitioning for workers and by government. I think
well, that's what I agree
involved in that.
With
agriculture, yes.
vital. Agriculture, it's vital for farmers, but you can always buy this food from someone else, right?
It grows somewhere. Everything.
Sorry?
Everything grows somewhere from
No, but yeah, but you can, in the US, for instance, you can subsidize farmers. Or you can buy this food from the third country, but cheaper.
Oh, I see. Okay, but you meant something else. Why wouldn't you want to, like, incentivize production in your own country?
Because it's inefficient and you have to spend money on it.
How is it inefficient?
Because you can buy cheaper from other countries.
But then you can produce in your country and eventually grow production in your own country. It's never going to be.
If the production, if the labor is cheaper,
though, what
that's
about
capitalism.
People, what about the life of the people in the country?
Why they should transition into other jobs.
They should transition. Why isn't the government not transitioning them into other jobs when the government is making some jobs, is not allowing some
what
jobs
What do you
to
mean?
Produce,
the government doesn't do it. They don't subsidize. They don't stop people producing. If you can't maintain a profitable business, you should move into other businesses or other jobs.
Is in charge of this country, right? The government is not a business. The government is responsible for making the society that they govern better.
Yes, but how does subsidizing one like agriculture makes it better?
Vital. What is vital for? Because it is vital anyway. You're going to buy it from another place. So it's necessary. So why don't you subsidize vital
industries?
Because
you can buy it cheaper. Okay.
What about the people?
The people who work there?
Yes.
Well, the same as with coal industry. They
are
will
you going
transition.
To, if you are going to as a government, because the government, what is they will transition? The government should transition people if they are going to buy from another place.
The government should support the transitioning.
The government
but
should
the government
transition
not,
people. Because the government governs those people. The government is chosen by those people to make their lives better. It doesn't make sense for the government to
it's
just
not
like,
that
you do what you want to do and then we're like...
Okay, there is a difference. There is one case when you have agriculture that you have to subsidize because it's not a viable business in your country. Another case, coal industry, that might be somewhat viable, at least some mines, but you want to transition for climate reasons. And that's, I think, those are a little bit different cases. And like in the latter case, you should provide more support because you are actually banning coal industry. You're enforcing some limitations on the industry. When it comes to agriculture, you're not
doing
anything.
What do you mean
provide
support, though? Like, I think you are responsible for transitioning these workers.
Well, provide support, provide free re-education programs, for instance. But it's different from just stopping subsidizing
an industry. The government should also be responsible in making sure that there are jobs for these people to come and work after the education. What's the point of going through the education and not having a job after?
I can somewhat agree.
Job creation is a responsibility of the government.
What? How do you, as a government, what? How do you create? You start building roads that you don't need just to create jobs or what?
I mean, you don't need.
I mean, you can always create new jobs, but will it be actually efficient?
Subsidies.
Do you actually need subsidies? What?
For other industries.
Okay. Okay. Let's wrap it up here.
Okay. But there's another thing I wanted to get to
in the next episode.
Probably.